to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda
to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and today we're going to be recapping that 5-1 victory over Atlas. And then, of course, we are going to be previewing the big Clásico de Clásicos in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, as the first leg is only 24 hours away in what hopes to be a promising and promising game for Las Águilas. And joining me today to talk all things Club America, it is none other than my co-host. It is Christian Rosendo and Chris Rivera. Gentlemen, how are we?
You got me in first.
Yeah, absolutely. How are we doing?
Good, man. Feeling better. I've been sick for the past 3 months, it feels like, but I'm feeling better right now. So I'm ready to talk about this weekend and the upcoming game.
Christian, how are we?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. Obviously, ecstatic over the weekend win. Lots to talk about in that game, and I think it came at a good time. In a moment where I think we weren't playing at our best, I think that we handled business on Saturday with utmost confidence, and it's just gonna guide us into what should be an exciting 2 weeks ahead of us. Starting with, obviously, like you said, in 24 hours we got the first test, which would be the Clásico Nacional in the Akron for the first leg of the quarterfinals, which can't wait for it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll jump into that Atlas game and we'll talk about that. Chris, I think you mentioned it perfectly in one of your tweets on Twitter. You said gaining momentum or picking up form at the right time. I mean, what better way to come into the Clásico than with a result like that, right?
Yeah, it's perfect timing, right? And everyone was having that conversation for a while where we're talking about, is it the players? Is it Jardine? Is it this? Is it that? You know what? It doesn't even matter. This is the most important four games of our year. Really, we don't know what's gonna happen in the second half of the year. But right now, this is the most important, and it's hard to think that it's gonna be more important later on. Hey, man, perfect timing. Like I said, perfect timing, and in Jardine we trust, and in the players we trust, and I'm happy to see that we're finally getting into this form.
Absolutely. We might as well just get into it. Let's talk America versus Atlas. Gentlemen, we came into this game thinking, all right, what is it that America needed to do in order to kind of cement themselves prior to the CONCACAF Champions Cup match? And, well, first of all, Christian, we were completely wrong. We totally got this wrong. We thought it was B/C team coming out. We were resting all the starters. And lo and behold, turns out we don't know nothing about what's going on in America. Absolutely just A team all around.
Yeah, I know. This kind of been the theme this year, I guess. Jardine is just not holding back in certain situations, which I guess in turn it serves the team good. Just like I said, because we were gaining so much momentum, so much confidence from key players. You know, Diego Valdez getting more playing time, Henry Martin getting more playing time, Jovairo getting more playing time, right? Kind of cementing himself more with the team. And just continuing the forms of Hidalgo, Quiñones, and Dos Santos. Looks like Chicote had a good game again. So like I said, it serves in that purpose that you're letting your key players get playing time and all this confidence. I would have liked to see a little bit more resting though. I think that the game was already won by when the third goal was happening. I hope that all the stuff should have been made a little bit earlier than the 85th minute. Nonetheless, though, I think that this was a key game, especially for one player, Alejandro Sendejas, which I know Chris will touch on a little bit later in the show. This is a much needed game from him, right? I think that mainly all of us agree that he has not been at his best form recently. And I think I mentioned it last week that I thought he was going to be our starter for these upcoming games. And what better way to go into those games than the performance than what he gave us in 18 minutes, scoring 2 goals and 1 assist?
No, yeah, absolutely. It was an impressive performance of him coming off the bench. And also, like you mentioned, an impressive performance from Javairo, who started off on that right-hand side, who I think needs to be credited a lot of what América was capable of doing on the offensive side. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, let's talk about how this game actually started, Chris, because it did not go well. I mean, as you guys see right there, playing the highlights, Henry already missed the goal right there. Perfect opportunity. We go down early in the match. I mean, did you ever feel at one point that this was going to be one of those games where like, oh my gosh, here we go, América is going to find a way to kind of, you know, ruin it for themselves?
Personally, there was a little bit of frustration once the penalty was missed. It felt like, oh man, this is going to be one of those games where we're just going to be missing and missing and missing. And I think we saw that in the Cruz Azul game a bit, even though they were offside. It kind of just felt like they're going to play a good game, but it's these misses that are just so frustrating. That's why I told you guys, like, I would give it a 70% of inform, right? Because I do feel we do miss a lot of these shots. But when you watch us play, it's not like we're playing bad, right? We're playing very good football. We're very fluid, right? I think that's the correct way to really describe how we play. It's very fluid. So when the goal happens, I wasn't necessarily mad, right? Because you see how one of their players headers it in, and I think you really couldn't, you know, I think that goal is going to go in the moment it landed on Mudo's feet, right? It's like, okay, it's one of those things. But when we missed the penalty, it was just like, man, like, I don't want to go into these Chivas games just into this, like, questionable perspective where it's like, I don't know what's wrong, right? Is it a confidence thing or, like, why are we missing penalty? Which, mind you, I don't think it was Henry's fault, right? I think it was really Camilo Vargas' save that was just great.
Really? I thought it was a terrible penalty.
I thought it was maybe. I mean, from the first take that I saw, it looked like it was just a really good save. I don't know if he could have done more to it, right? But it didn't really look centered, and it looked kind of very good place. But like I said, maybe there's another perspective that I could see that. And then the goals came in, right? We got another penalty, and then Javairo just amazing, bro. It's funny because my dad was yelling at him, like, hey, like, pass it already, pass it. Like, why are you, like, doing all these things, right? And then you see the patience on his feet. I mean, we're seeing it on our screen right now, right? Look at the patience. And then he looks up and he sees Quiñones there and, you know, goal, right? But I did have a little bit of doubt. I did have that feeling of, okay, like, this might be one of those games. It's Atlas. It's possible, you know, but luckily for us, it's the complete opposite.
What was frustrating for me was not necessarily the fact that we conceded, was kind of the fact that, all right, you were dominating the game up to a certain point. The goal kind of comes against the run of play. And in a match where you have planted yourself perfectly, so perfectly, to attack this Atlas team, now you have to go and you have to chase the game. And the one thing that América has struggled so much this season is against teams that sit back, kind of pray, kind of just sit back, hold, and wait for them and just clutter the midfield and clutter the defense, that it felt like, okay, the one thing you didn't want to do, because the one thing you wanted to avoid was kind of that Achilles heels of yours, is exactly what you're getting. But to your point, Christian, there was some resilience, and it showcased that, okay, we're able to kind of break these lines, get some goals, get some good traction going. And I was content at halftime, because at the end of the half is when, you know, we're 2-1 and you feel like, okay, the tides turn. But did you ever feel at one point that, okay, this game is going to kind of fall away from us after we were already down?
No, not necessarily. Kind of like what Chris said, I just felt like, I was getting annoyed that we were getting a lot of these chances and just not making them. It's kind of been the same story for the past couple of weeks now, that we don't have trouble creating. It's just our finishing, right? And yeah, when you're down and you're trying to get back into a game, you're having clear chances of kind of just tying it up, getting the confidence back of the team, and you're just straight out missing them. Like that, that can't fly over these next 2 weeks, right? Whenever we have an opportunity, we got to put them away. Normally, just we're going to be away from home for the first leg, and then for the Clásico next week, next Saturday, right? So in these type of situations, we got to put them away. I just wanted to quickly touch on Jovito's performance. I think we all saw him a little bit more in the attack, kind of been a little bit more determined. If we look at his dribble attempts, he had 4 and he was successful on all 4 of them. He attempted 15 ground duels and won 9 of them, right? So I think we're starting to see what he can bring to the team on that right-hand side. And I think it was just a perfect segue for Zendejas to come in and kind of just close out the game. I don't think anyone expected for Zendejas to do what he did. But if you know, push comes to shove and this is the kind of rule that we have to play with, then I think that we're in good hands. But I think the team reacted well. I think I want to give special credits to Fidalgo, Valdez, and Chicote Calderon. I don't know if you guys saw those highlights, but they were just breaking lines. They were making runs, and they were making these crucial passes that allowed for these opportunities to kind of come about. And we just need more of that. We need more consistency from them. We need to see that in almost every single game coming up this weekend. So if those three can kind of just keep doing what they're doing, I think that will be in great shape.
I agree. To some extent, Chicote was kind of frustrating me. I'm not gonna lie. There's just moments in time where I felt like he was just. He did do good overlapping runs. He definitely made things very accessible for Quiñones. But again, I just feel like Quiñones isn't really a true winger at points of the game. He cuts in a little bit too much, drifts a little bit too much in towards the middle, kind of leaving. Kind of leaving Chicote in an area just by himself, and where I think sometimes he struggles to find a pass, struggles to do good stuff. But in moments where he did find overlapping spaces, I mean, you saw the chip, the chip almost goal that he had, right? Which I thought was decent finish. I don't think it was actually Fidalgo, going
in. But that pass from Fidalgo was a beauty, bro. There needs to be more players like that with a vision like that, because I don't think anyone else sees that.
No, absolutely no. Maybe just Diego Valdez, but
right.
That's even a big maybe right there. But yeah, no. Shout out to those players specifically because they brought out the best in the teams. And it's interesting because we didn't even peg some of these guys to start, you know. And the fact that they did, they were the reasons why América was able to turn it around as well as they did. Because I don't know necessarily if América does that with the players that we mentioned that were going to be starting, Christian.
Yeah, no, I think the game would have been a little bit more complicated, right? I think especially going goal down, it would have been interesting to see how that version of the team would have reacted, right? I think ultimately, if we weren't in a good spot, then most of these players were going to come in anyway to kind of resolve the game, or at least attempt to resolve the game. But I think everything changes also when the red card happens, right? I think that just being up a man and just kind of just putting the game kind of in cruise control in a sense, just made it so much easier for everyone to kind of have a better performance all around. Like I said, though, I think that before the record happened, I thought we were in a pretty good spot. But I think after the record happened, we all kind of just knew that it was just a matter of time of when we were going to ice the game.
Yeah, I think there's also something that we need to highlight is that red card, Chris. Because without that red card, I think this game is a completely different game. Do I think that América struggles to find these goals? I don't think so, but I don't necessarily think it's a 5-1 result at the end of the day if América ends up playing against Atlas with 11 men. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that.
I mean, it depends, because I think Atlas was going to just sit there and just, like you said, just wait for us to attack. So what really changed from that perspective? I get it, one less man, right? But
one less man equals more space, you know?
Yeah, but when you're kind of just parking the bus, it's kind of just defending, you know, it's...
Well, I will say this much. It felt like Atlas threw in the towel after the second... Well, not necessarily after the second goal. I think they threw the towel definitely after the third. After the third, they were kind of like, all right.
I think I agree. I think after the second goal, they were just done. I think when the red card happened, they were done.
They just kind of felt like, okay, this is going to be too much of a mountain to climb. Half,
they had like one good chance, and after that, they just they were nowhere to be found after that.
Yeah. And
it would have been harder again, for sure, you know. It would have been harder for sure to score five, but I don't think the game would have been different. I think that's one of those teams that would have just said, you know what, man to man, we're not going to compete. America's pushing forward. Because let's be honest, we were pushing forward. Like, nothing changed from us, you know. Like, Javairo was still doing this thing. Valdez was still doing this thing. Henry was doing this thing. Quiñones was doing, like, I think it would have been one of those things where they're just going to sit back and kind of counter. Maybe that killed it for them, but I feel like maybe not five, but I do think we'll probably score three. I think the first two are going to happen regardless, right? And then the other two will happen. But I think it's one of those things where I don't think it's much of a difference.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. Fair enough. Let's talk about trying to find the perfect words to put it into perspective. The effectiveness of both Quiñones and Javairo on that wide hand side. I felt that Javairo played more of the winger role, Christian. And I mentioned, Quiñones played sometimes wide, sometimes drifted a little bit more into the middle. But really, the true winger here was Javairo.
Yeah, no, but I think they both served their different purposes, right? I think both of them understood what they had to do. Besides the key misses once again and the almost missed goal by Quiñones, which seems to be kind of a theme every single time we get on this podcast.
It's a running theme for almost a year now, okay?
Yeah, no, I know. But if he could just refine or perfect that craft, this man would be the best in the league. But somehow, some way, shape, or form, he still manages to get a goal in, whether it be because of his toe or his chest or whatever part of the body may be, he gets the goal, right? So we can't knock him for that, because you do have to, that is the objective of the game, to put the ball behind in the net. So we can't knock him for that. Just, you got to be a little bit more consistent in your finishing. But like you mentioned, Javairo, though, I think that he played the winger role very well. He was causing havoc on that right-hand side, being a little bit unpredictable, winning his duels, getting better with the timings and the passing and what to do, decision-making in the final third. I enjoyed his game. I don't think he'll start come tomorrow, but it would be interesting to see him maybe off the bench for a couple of minutes, and most likely we'll probably see him start on Saturday against Tigres.
Which, again, also is going to be interesting and exciting. And I will say this, I think we're seeing a 70% Javairo. I don't think he's at 100% yet.
No, definitely not. No.
And
might even be Chris, lower.
Might be lower. That's exciting, because think about it. A player of his caliber giving you that performance at like a 70%, you can only imagine what he's going to look like at 100. So, I do agree with you, Christian. I think he's the perfect candidate to come off the bench and kind of tear Chivas apart. When we do need kind of some refreshment in that midfield, whether it's on the left, right, maybe in the midfield, like in Diego Valdez's spot. So we'll see. Of course, we'll talk Chivas and everything just a little bit later on in the podcast. Ultimately, this was a good America performance. A good America performance with some good goals, some good football, and most of all, It's a confidence booster. And finally, for 10 games now, that I've been crying about the fact that America has been missing chances and America has not been able to get that two goal hump, it seems to be completely thrown out the window in this game, which is terrific, absolutely what you wanted. And again, to reiterate exactly what Chris had mentioned, gaining form at the right time, in the right moment. Because like I said, we're in the eye of the storm now, right? The games are coming thick and fast. It's going to be a quick turnaround within this next 7 to 10 days, in where you're going to be going through kind of the motions and everything. So it's going to be important that America kind of keeps himself as level-headed as possible and go off these good results, right? The Cruz Azul one was a very good one.
In the next four games.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot at stake in the next four games.
Absolutely. Your season's riding exactly on this week and a half. So, yeah, it's important that America gains that confidence, right? I think Cruz Azul was a confidence booster. Atlas is just kind of the cherry on top to be like, all right, we can score goals now, especially on the road. That was huge for me, right? Overcoming the hump. This is the first time that you were down this whole season and you were able to kind of revert the scoreline in your favor. And so now you kind of go and you be like, okay, took care of business. Now we just gain traction from that, keep going. So yeah, big 3 points for America at the Estadio Jalisco against Atlas, in an opponent that we have not been able to beat in the past, you know, four games, I think they were mentioning. So good to get over that little hump as well, you know? So anything else you gentlemen want to add?
Ramon Juarez had a great game.
No, absolutely. Ramon was a tank. I think he continues to be the most solid defender we have. Because even I won't say he's our best defender.
Or he doesn't play for five games and starts again. He doesn't lose a beat. It's honestly
absolutely
impressive.
It's ridiculously impressive. And it's even more mind-boggling how he's not a starter, which is ridiculous. But I won't say he's our best defender. I think that title, Sebastián Cáceres holds on to it.
Yeah.
But I will say that he is our most well-behaved. Like, he's the most competent defender. The most consistent. Yes. Both of those words are perfectly well describing Ramon Juarez. Because he don't necessarily see mistakes. He's not, like, Cáceres is the best defender we have, but my God, the balls he was giving up against Cruz Azul, and it was just outrageous, right? He has these moments, these hiccups, where he's able to kind of recover the ball because he's just that talented, but to put yourself in that position to begin with is, right, you know, it's threatening. But Ramon Juarez is just so effective. Like, he's very disciplined. He knows what he needs to do. Like, the man was playing with like a busted lip and a busted nose, and it never skipped a beat. Absolutely
three
amazing.
Tackles, four interceptions, two key interceptions. The man was doing his job, right? The man was doing his job, and it's amazing too, because he's one of those players that doesn't get a lot of playing time, which he understands because he understands the role he's in, but he doesn't complain about it either. He'll just go out and just prove, okay, listen, I'm not going to play, but when I do play, you're going to know that I played. And I think that's all we can ask in our third center back. So extremely happy with him, and hopefully he gets a chance in one of these games.
I'm sure he will. If it's not Chivas in the first leg, it might be Chivas in the second. It most definitely will be Tigres at home. We'll see. But there is plenty of games to go around, and I'm sure Juarez is looking at himself and thinking, yeah, I'm going to have to play a big role in one of these games.
Of course.
And the best thing about it is that I think all three of us can agree, we have the utmost confidence in this man to come in. And there's not an ounce of doubt in any of our minds if he starts. So, again, yeah, huge shout out to Ramon Juarez. Performed spectacularly, like he continues to do so. And yeah, we'll see if he gets any minutes within the next upcoming week or so. Chris, anything you want to add on about this Atlas game, or should we wrap it up?
I mean, just the Sendejas coming in as a sub, I guess, right? I mean,
yeah, it's interesting that, you know, Sendejas comes in and performs the way that he performs. Look, he had an exceptional game against Cruz Azul. And, he ran like crazy. Did he play the 90 minutes? I believe he played the 90 minutes against Cruz Azul.
I want to say he got subbed. No, I think he got subbed in for Brian, right? Or no?
Oh, you're right. You're right. Sorry. Yes, excuse me. Yeah. It was Brian.
Okay.
But he was running up and down the pitch like crazy. Like, he had a great performance. And then he comes in.
But let's be honest. He runs all the time. And that's probably what people criticize him the most, is that he's running too much.
Sometimes I feel like he's running without a purpose.
Yeah.
Like, he's just chasing the ball. And against Cruz Azul, he was running with that purpose of, okay, cutting passes, running into spaces, trying to take players on. That's more of the kind of the intent we want to see from Sendejas. But yeah, he absolutely tore it up against Cruz Azul. Then comes in. I think it was fair that he saw the bench just to kind of get some rest. You don't want to overtire him because you knew he was going to be your starter for Wednesday's game against Chivas. So he comes off the bench, scores two goals. I mean, if there is any person that you want right now kind of scoring goals and being informed that isn't called Henry Martin, your next best bet is probably Sendejas, because you need him to be pivotal on that right hand side. So,
yeah, I don't argue Quiñones, but I get what you're saying.
But you feel like Quiñones is I mean, it's going against everything I've said about him this whole season. But you feel like Quiñones is at least pulling some weight in his department. He's scoring goals. He's doing assists. Like, he's not carrying the team on his back, but he'll show up in moments, right? And Sendejas really hasn't been showing up on the score sheet. So, again, big, huge boost of confidence for Sendejas. And, yeah, I mean, absolutely came in, did a good job, scored a very good goal, and a very good goal that needed an Atlas assist, Chris.
Wasn't it going in regardless?
It was, but I don't know, Christian. You put it perfectly. It looked like the Atlas just kind of, the player helped it go in rather than clearing it.
Well, I mean, if the Atlas defender wasn't there, then obviously it would have went in. But I don't know. They gave it to Sendejas, but I understand why they gave it to, because the ball was going on target anyway, so they had to give it to him. But yeah.
Can we give Israel Reyes props on that play? Because he loses, he has, was in a 1v1, and then he gets tangled up with the goalkeeper, but he still fights it. Like, right. That's the type of effort that I personally just love, bro. Because there's a lot of players that just give up. The moment they lose or 1v1 or something, they'll just fall to the ground, or they'll just give up and complain. And I love that. He's right there. He just continued to fight. He got the ball, and then he gave it to Sendejas, and Sendejas scores that, right? I just want to shout out Israel Reyes for that, because effort. You want to see that from everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. He's starting to look a little bit better on that right-hand side. Then again, you know, Atlas 10 men, kind of. His big test is going to come tomorrow. I have no doubt that he's going to be the right back for this game, right? I don't think Kevin is 100% ready to go. And if he isn't, why are you going to risk him in such a pivotal game, right? The first leg is,
he hasn't played, so I wouldn't just start him right then and there.
Exactly. That's what I was kind of going to. Like, you kind of don't just chuck him into
a game like into this. The fire. Maybe Saturday. Maybe, I don't think I have a problem with him starting Saturday if he were to be ready. But I think for this game, I think we need the who is ever best right now, and that probably is Israel Reyes.
Absolutely. But yeah, shout out to Sendejas for pulling out a performance like that. And now hopefully he can do so and repeat it again against Chivas. Well, with that said, America, huge 3 points against Atlas. We said again, just 1 point behind the league leaders, which is Cruz Azul. And then, of course, Pachuca as well, the second place team. And I think Monterrey only above us because of goal differential. So, again, staying in that top four spot where Jardine kind of mentioned he wants his team to be at, especially right now when you shift focus to CONCACAF Champions League. And so we'll see exactly where America pans out after this chaotic week, almost 2 weeks, in where you have two huge games in the league and two huge games in CONCACAF Champions League. But all right. With that said, let's move on, gentlemen, to the next segment of today's show, and that is talking club news and updates. Not a lot, just a couple of things we have to go over, a couple of things that have been surfacing, and I'll tell you guys that in just a moment. But I do want to release the bonus question of today's episode. So you guys doing trivia, and whoever tuned in for specifically, well, I hope he's tuned in to talk. He listened to us about America, but maybe if you were just here for the trivia question, well, there you have it. It's in the comment section. Make sure you guys go answer that. Get yourself some points. We'll update the table as the week goes by, and you guys will have an updated score sheet soon enough. But all right, gentlemen, the biggest news I think right now surfacing is the fact that Henry Martin continues to not renew his contract. Chris, you sent something in the group chat specifically about this. It was this reporter for Clara Sports, was it? Where we kind of went into a little bit of a deep dive and kind of mentioned that there isn't anything on the table just yet, but both parties aren't really rushing to try to get the deal done. So it's not like Henry's pressing And America's not kind of pressuring Henry to sign either. I think they're both kind of still hashing it out number-wise. And I don't know, but I don't necessarily... And this topic continues to resurface every episode. I remember we were talking about it with Dylan last week, Christian. But I personally don't feel like this is going to end badly. I do think that America is eventually going to get this done. It just maybe not on top of the priority list, seeing exactly as how maybe right now you're thinking about a Cabecita leaving and trying to find the replacement for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they're talking length and money, and it's not like big deal like people are kind of probably thinking, right? It's probably just Henry wants a lot more years, right, and a little bit more money, and America kind of wants, and I mean, we've talked about it in the past, right, where America looks at the age and doesn't start giving these long contracts, right? I'm surprised they're not offering one-year deals like they usually do with players past their 30s, you know, which he's not that old either, right? He's in his prime, but that's usually what America starts doing around these type of players. There's one-year deals, but I think they'll get it done. I think worst case scenario, he goes to MLS, right? But he wants to go to the World Cup. I don't think that's going to happen. I think his best chance is to stay in America, and that's the only way he's going to make it to the World Cup.
Yeah, I think everyone's kind of looking at it like in that sense as well. And so, and Alan mentioned it, right? He's like, Henry wants to sign, but obviously deserves to be the best played player in the club. And I don't think any of us can argue with that. Can we, Christian?
No, I think his performances over the past couple of years have kind of led him to think that he deserves that, which I think that if you talk to any or most of the fan base, they would kind of agree with you. Like Chris said, I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's just we're in the middle of a very crucial moment of our season. I don't think that either party wants to just put in the contract in their minds when we have to go out and win 4 out of 4 games in the next 2 weeks, right? So it's like, you know, we'll leave that for a later date. Both parties have expressed that they want to sign, that they want to get the deal done. It's going to happen. It's just that right now we all got better things to worry about right now, more important things to worry about. So worry about this down the road. Like I said, I'm sure it's going to happen. He's breaking records. He's close to breaking another one. If he's given the years that he wants, I think that he'll probably reach, you know, the place where he wants to be. At least the more attainable one, because after you pass a certain someone, then it just gets a little bit too unattainable for you.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he wants that. I'm sure the fan base knows he can get there. I think we just give it a little bit more time, and then we'll probably see more news after this kind of two, three week mid-season importance is over with.
Absolutely. Like Chris Ramirez says, right? He's ninth in the all-time scoring for us, and if anyone deserves it, it's definitely him. And again, no discredit to that. Absolutely, right? Close to breaking that 100 goal mark.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys this. If there's a deadline, when is it? Because his contract is running up, right?
Before Liga.
And yeah, so that's what I think. Maybe right when Liga starts, that's when you kind of just close everything and say, you know what, good luck to your free agency, or we're going to have to look for someone else. Because we know how Baños is, right?
Yeah,
Baños isn't going to have a – even if it's summer window, we know how Baños is. And then we're talking about potentially a lot of players leaving. I don't think people are really realizing that there's a lot of players that are either being linked to leave as of right now, or we know they're going to leave because they've talked about potentially leaving. It could be a very rebuildish type summer, you know. So for me personally, for that same reason, I would like them to just – not necessarily give in, but kind of lean towards whatever he wants, right? Like, okay, maybe we can't give you that exact deal, but here's something a little bit similar, right? Because I think I read that detail is that they're giving him 3 year with like another option of a fourth, but it's like he needs to like score a certain amount of goals to like receive a certain amount of money. I don't have an issue with that, and I don't think Henry should have an issue with that either, you know? But then again, it's easier to have just fully guaranteed, and it's, you know, and someone would give them that fully guaranteed elsewhere.
I also think the club is being cautious just because of his age also. He's 31, right? He's 31.
And injuries. I don't
think he wants to sell out a lot of money for a potentially 34-year-old striker, let's just say, right? I think the club is trying to maybe risk management a certain part of the deal. So I think that's where maybe the trouble can be caused too. Also, the kind of stall in the talks. But like we all agree, though, I think it's gonna happen one way or another. They're gonna come to an agreement that'll benefit all parties, and it's just a matter of time after these 2-3 weeks are over.
I agree, and let's hopefully next week we're not talking about it, but something tells me we might just be talking about it again next week. So we'll see if there's any updates. Second to last thing that I have is the Cabecita thing. We mentioned it. Still nothing done concrete, but from what it looks like, America's kind of telling him, look, you got about a week's time. You either get the deal over the line or shutting it down and you're staying here until summer. So,
right again, thing.
Yeah. I agree. The right thing to do. You obviously need him for depth purposes. He's a good addition. If he goes, he goes. And if it's for a good buck, then perfect. But if not, then I don't think you lose out on trying to sell him in the summer if he truly wants to leave, right? And I don't know if he, you know, if he holds out and he sees like, okay, all these players leaving, I could potentially be a starter again. Like, you know, let's see where the pendulum swings. So we'll see, but no real new update on Cabecita, just kind of that Portland is still in negotiations, and we'll see whether or not
I think we all have till Friday to get this done. I think Friday is the last day that America could sign a free agent per se if he were to leave, which I don't think is going to happen. I think that there is like a 0.0000001% chance.
But whenever we've talked about little percentages, Christian.
yeah, you're not wrong. But like I said, though, I think ultimately, because wasn't Portland also linked to Berterame from Monterrey?
And that Tom Bogart or something. Sorry if I butchered his last name. He's huge reporter for all things MLS. Reported that Berterame was also on the radar. So we'll see.
They want both. We'll see. Well, I read they want both. That's what I read. I don't know how MLS works with that specifically, but
I mean, I'm not 100% vetted on all things Portland Timbers. Although shout out to the Portland Timber podcast that we linked up with one time whenever we were previewing the CONCACAF Champions League game. I'm sure they will know, you know. So, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they get it over the line. I think we'll have a much better indication of this by, like you mentioned, Friday, Saturday. Come the Tigres game, I think we should have a much better perspective as to if Cabecita is going to get it over the line or not. So we'll see what happens. Absolutely. Do you guys have any other news or updates?
Nothing on my end.
No, I mean, I guess that Richard is good, but he came in the last game, no? So
we saw him. He was good. Yeah. Injury wise, we're good. Only Nestor Araujo, which again continues to be perfectly fine.
He's injured?
He's on that injury list. Oh. I don't know. I'm just spreading rumors at this point because I just don't want to see him on the starting 11.
No, I think I think he's good. He's just not being taken into consideration. I mean, like,
it's fine by me.
I think we're all agree that we're okay with that.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw the list earlier today, but they put salaries for each player. Nestor's like top four, most highest paid in the team.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. I can believe it. Which is why you need to get rid of him this summer. So the faster you move him out, the better. Yeah, I know. I know. But all right, gentlemen, let's move on over. Let's shift focus and let's talk CONCACAF Champions Cup. The Clásico, the Clásicos, El Clásico de México, the Clásico Nacional. My God, this name, this Clásico has gone through more rebranding than Dignity Health Sports Park, Chris. That used to be the Home Depot Center.
The Home Depot Center, StubHub Center.
StubHub Center. It's gotten every name possible. And looks like the Clásico is going down.
I don't know.
Yeah, the Super Clásico was always, you know, look, at this point, we call it what it is. Somebody covers Chivas. The biggest game in CONCACAF. I'd say one of the biggest games in the world. And so interesting that we get to see it in a CONCACAF Champions Cup. Obviously, a lot of people would have much rather these two teams face each other a little bit more towards like the semifinal, final type of area. But even though here in the round of 16, huge, critical for America to come away with the victory, with the result. And we'll talk exactly how we think America needs to kind of play in order to get themselves to that point. But look, we mentioned it. We have a full healthy squad, quote unquote. Obviously, the only people that are not going to be taken into consideration for this game is Cabecita because he's not in Guadalajara. But other than that, you pretty much have everybody at your disposal. So, Christian, with that said, what is that projected starting 11? What do you see in your Magic 8 Ball that is going to happen? What is Karine planting for us come tomorrow?
Is it even worth it at this point? Because my man's going to throw out.
Dude, I think you're 0 for 10 at this point.
and then we're all going to, I'm going to look just ridiculous. But I'll give it a shot, though. I'll give it a shot. All right.
All right.
I think that we'll go with Malagón in net. We'll have Israel Reyes as the right back, Igor Lichnowsky, Sebastian Cáceres, and Chicote Calderón. In the midfield, Jonathan Dos Santos, Álvaro Fidalgo. In the 10th spot, Diego Valdez. On the right side, Alejandro Sendejas. On the left, Julian Quiñones. And up top, Henry Martin.
Yeah. I mean, practically the same lineup against Atlas, with the exception of Igor coming in and Ramon Juarez seeing the bench. Mm-hmm. I like it. I mean, honestly, it is the best starting 11 that we could possibly put out there. I mean, maybe the left back spot, we were talking about, you know, Reyes and the performance that he put in against Cruz Azul and how amazing he was. But, you know, I feel like maybe you do have to put Chicote in this one. Mm-hmm. It feels like it has to be his type of game, you know, kind of like how Quiñones was just absolutely tearing it up against Atlas because he felt so at home in that stadium and in that pitch. You might feel like maybe Chicote, given in the circumstances surrounding him and everything, that it might be his type of game, you know? Fingers crossed we get a Chicotazo, you know? So we'll see. But Chris, this is, like I mentioned, star-studded on all aspects for America. So talk to me exactly about how America needs to present themselves in this game in order to walk away with a victory. Because I think we all agree that America needs a victory, right? We can't just kind of settle for a draw here or much less play the comeback kid.
I think what we need to do is kind of treat it like a boxing match, which is like first minutes, let just feel it out. Because I think we're the better team. I don't think that's a hot take, right? We're the better team position-wise, team-wise. We're the current champions. We're the better team. And one thing I got from Chivas in the Cruz Azul game is there's a lot of weaknesses that we could expose. And right now, with our form going up, I think America needs to see what face Chivas is going to show in the first 10 minutes and then play to their weakness. Chivas is a very emotional team. That's the first thing I get from them. Just like their fan base, they're very emotional. I see them play, you know, and hey, Brahma, I'm going to go off. Everyone here agrees Chivas is a very emotional team and fan base. And to me, you know, it's funny because all season long I've been defending Sendejas, right? I think Javairo should start this game. And the reason is, from what I see from their left side, they can't handle the speed of Javairo and how fast he plays. We don't talk about that enough. I don't know if you guys watch Messi play in MLS, but you see the difference in speed in what the league plays and what the player plays. And that's what I saw Javairo in these past games. He plays too fast, and I think their left side is too weak. I think we're going to have to expose that left side, and that's only going to make Quiñones open, which, right, we're talking about how he's not really a winger. He's kind of the second striker, not really a attacking mid. He's not a main nine, but he's more like in a second striker. I think we got to expose that right side. And you know, one thing about Javairo that he brings to the game is he pulls his mark. We watched it in this Atlas game. We saw three guys always on him. You look at that goal, that assist that he gave Quiñones. He has like three guys on him, and none of them go and bite. Why? Because he could take off from them. So for me, I think we need to expose that left side from Chivas. Whether is there Mateo Chavez, who's a youngster, who is very green, right? He's very green. I don't know if you've seen him play, but he's very green. And I don't even know who their backup left back is. But point is, you know, even Mosso is a very, very flashy one in the attack, but he's horrible defensively. So for me, we need to expose those left backs, those fullbacks. And that should be the game plan after you get a sense of how they're going to play. Chivas is going to be emotional. Like I said, they're going to go and attack. They're going to try to scare us. They're probably going to start Chicharito just because it's like, oh, it's first classical back. Emotional, like I said. It's going to be one of those emotional type games. And I think America against an emotional team always takes advantage. And I'm very excited for this matchup.
So I like it, right? And kind of in hints at the fact that America's speed is going to be crucial come tomorrow. So it means that, you know, you're looking at your Quiñones and your either Sendejas or your Javidos. But I'm also looking at O'Brien to come in the second half and kind of tear it up, you know, even more so. Because he is the best left winger on this team. The only true left winger, actually, that this team has. So I'm excited for him to come in and play against some tired legs, because I think he could completely tear it up. So, again, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But what Alan's saying is here, not that one, sorry, this one. Alan's saying Chivas will probably switch to a 5-2-3 formation because of their left back weakness, which kind of hints to them kind of playing a style that we, again, tend to struggle with Christian here, right? Defensive sides, low blocks, little spaces to kind of run into. How do we combat that if they do come out and they play a 5-3-2?
Just got to make sure we kind of just hold the ball. I think that we play best when we have possession. When we have Fidalgo breaking lines, when we have Valdez breaking lines, the long shots. I think that's been a kind of a talking point with America, that we need to take more long shots. I think now with Diego Valdez back, and Javairo with that left foot, I think that we are capable of kind of maybe surprising them a little bit with the long shot, being a little bit more predictable, not always trying to play in and create an opportunity. That's probably one way we can probably break this. But I think I want to point out that in this game, and just in the first leg only, I think that the first goal has to be scored by America. I think once that happens, they're going to feel the immense pressure to get a result in their house, because they know that if they go down another goal, or if they leave this game trailing, it's going to be an uphill battle, and they're probably going to be out already come the second leg. If America really want to take advantage, you score that first goal, you go in with everything you have, and you make sure you're leading by halftime per se. That first goal is going to be so crucial. It'll probably demoralize them. But looking at their squad, honestly, I don't know if anyone wants to correct me here. Their 11 is their 11, and it's an okay 11. But after that, though, I really don't see anyone else that can kind of come in and create any havoc, right? So you kind of find a disgruntled one, or a player not in form, not in the game. You take advantage, and you kind of just exploit it. I think Chris is talking about it, and that left hand side is extremely weak. I think either or can do the job. This is a very winnable game, and I hope Harine is studying, because I think we have a very good chance of, you know, really exploiting them early on in this game.
I think he definitely is. I think he's watching film after film after film, because this is not the same Chivas we played last season, where we whooped them 4-0 at the Azteca, right? Under new manager, who, right, has some traction and has showcased a little bit of positive results with Chivas. So we'll see. We'll absolutely see. I honestly, if Chivas brings the game to us, it's 100% better, because we can exploit them, spaces will be open. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a mixture of the Cruz Azul tactics with what we saw on Saturday against Atlas and kind of blend both and kind of, like you mentioned, Chris, right? Kind of feel it out. Maybe give them the first 10, 15 minutes to kind of jab a little bit at us, kind of run into us, and then we exploit them. Or you know, vice versa. Maybe we actually take the game to them from the get-go and try to offset them the way that we did against Cruz Azul.
Can I add something real quick? Mm-hmm. I feel like if they were to play a 5-2-3, that's way too much space for them to give us. I know that we're kind of looking at it a little bit from them being stuck back, but even like Christian said, you look at their starting 11, I'm not scared of that from a counter perspective. Like, who Macias countering, Cole countering,
Piojo
countering.
And let's face it, Chicharito's not fast.
Exactly. So from a counter perspective, right, let's say they do sit back and they just let us just attack. I'm not afraid of that attack. And that's not me being overly confident. Just maybe Cole could break through, right? But he's not good off, like,
probably only maybe Piojo taking advantage of Israel's inexperience at right back. Maybe I can see that we the only be entry point. But the way that Israel is playing right now, that doesn't really scare me as much either.
And he would feel that he would have Sendejas helping him, right?
Exactly. Even then, Sendejas is going to be there all the time. And Jonathan Dos Santos is going to be there all the time. So for me, I'm not going to be overconfident, right? It's football. Anything could happen. But from that 5-2-3, they're looking to get a 0-0 or a tie in this first leg and try to win in El Azteca, which I, you know, and like I said, you look at their fullbacks and even their center backs, like Briseño, okay, you know, who's the other center? Chiquete, right? Or who's the other center back? Is it
Sepulveda?
See, I'm not trying to be overconfident because it's, like I said, football, right? But Jardinet has been showing this team is getting better, and he's letting them play offensive now, take more risk. We talked about it last season early on, was wrong. We kind of had a little moment this season. Jardinet's letting them play now, just like he did last season. So for me, it's just one of those things where it's like, I would put Javairo in, like I said. That would be my thing, just because I think you kind of give them that he pulls his mark, bro. Like, at the end of the day, you want that. I'm not saying Sendejas will do bad if he starts, because Sendejas has shown in these Clásicos that he could perform. But the thing is, you put in Javairo, you pull all your mark. He pulls all his mark. You're leaving Henry open, and you're leaving Quiñones open. And if they're not open, it's a 1v1. You have Mosso versus Quiñones. I'm sorry, bro. I understand Chivas fans love Mosso. They're saying they're crying about him not being called up. Defensively, he's awful. I've been saying that since he was in Pumas. Yes, bro, a player that could cross is good. You know, he's very offensively, he's very flashy. Defensively, he's awful. And then if you're leaving Henry open with Sepulveda or Briseño, I'm still confident in that 1v1, you know? So, personally, I would put in Javairo. Sendejas could have a game, but then you're kind of not really pulling your mark. It's just 1v1s on every side, maybe a double team here and there. Personally, I would put in Javairo because I know they're going to mark him. Because if they let him 1v1, they put Mateo Chavez on him, and they're saying that he's the most fouled fullback or the one that commits the most fouls against a player like that that's playing in a different type of tempo. I'm sorry, but, like, Jardinet needs to really put Javairo and you put Sendejas in the Tigres game. That's what I would do. And for the same argument you're having about Brian Rodriguez, yes, if he's in the second half, you have to, you don't see Quiñones doing what he does. Hell, bro, put Brian Rodriguez into most of them. It's the same thing, right? Defensively, he's not that great. And we know that Brian is a great dribbler. Put him in, you know, it doesn't hurt. So, I'm like I said, I don't want to be overly confident. But like I said, there's a lot of weaknesses in that Chivas team that I see where I could see us taking a pretty big advantage in this first leg.
But, it, you know, the most important thing is actually taking advantage of them, right? And Christian, we can't fall into this kind of complacency that America gets into whenever we start missing chance after chance after chance.
Right.
You kind of saw it against Real Esteli. You can't afford yourself to have another game like that. Absolutely, you cannot. This game is just that much more bigger. that much more important. So, yeah, I agree with Chris. There's a lot of positive things to kind of look into with this squad and some of the advantages that we can take. But it's actually showing up to the game and actually playing it specifically. Right. You know, that's going to count. So for you, tell me, who's your man to watch? Who's going to be the determining factor for America? And it can't be Fidalgo, because you always choose Fidalgo.
No, it's not Fidalgo. Well, I do think he needs to have a game and not get a red card, right?
Yeah. That'd be huge.
I think it's going to be Julián Quiñones. I need a man to just turn into a different level. Like, he's good. We've seen him be great. I need him to be perfect. You know, I think that this is the moment why we got him. I think I've said it before in our group chat. I said it to a couple people before. I think this is the tournament. The CONCACAF is the tournament that we need to win, right? I think you put this first and you put the B campion on the second. As much as a hot take that may sound, I think America wants to be in the inaugural Club World Cup next year. And this is probably your hardest task until the final. So you get through this, then you're pretty much in good shape to make it to that final to get an opportunity to do that. And if you want to, you can end it right here. If you really, really want to, you could end it tomorrow night. And I need Quiñones to be that player that we got him for. I need him to be that Julián Quiñones from Atlas, from the B campeonato, the days of Atlas. I need him to be that player to just terrorize this whole defense that Chivas has to offer. It's Julián Quiñones for me.
I would love another repeat of that goal that he scored against them at the Rose Bowl. Would be amazing. But okay. I like it. Julián Quiñones would be my pick, but hey, Chris, who's your pick for?
Who's your pick for? I actually agree. I was thinking about it, but it's hard to really say a player if I don't know who starts, and I know Quiñones is going to start. Because to me, like I said, I just went off on Javairo and why he should be playing, right? But I don't know if he's going to start. And outside of that, it's really hard to say. To me, I look at the disadvantages. Like I said, Mosso, and people are going to be like, man, what are you going off on Mosso for? I've been saying this since he was in Pumas. Flashy player offensively, right? But the thing is, defensively, he's not good. He really does struggle and leaves a lot of spaces. He's like Emilio Lara, only better. I'm not going to say slightly better, but better. To me, Quiñones needs to really play physical on that left side. And really needs to take advantage of everything that Mosso is going to give up. They're going to drop back on him because Piojo Alvarado is very similar to Sendejas in dropping back and helping it is Piojo on the left side, right? Not Cola?
Yeah. No, Cola's on the right.
Okay. So Piojo is going to be dropping down and helping him out a lot. But whenever he gets those advantages of 1v1, he really needs to take advantage of that because Mosso, to me, isn't that great. And then, like I said, once he passes by him, the center backs aren't great either. Briseño's just effort, you know. Okay, cool. We could take advantage of that too because a player that does too much effort usually fouls a lot. To me, yeah. I think Quiñones needs to just take advantage of those situations. And if it's not him, like you said, Ivan, this is also a perfect game for Brian Rodriguez to come in the second half and take advantage of those exact mistakes that Chivas might present themselves. But I'm focusing on Quiñones. Quiñones needs to be a player that takes advantage of those. Like you said, the goal in the Rose Bowl, stuff like that. We need to see that from in this game, and I do think that we're going to see that.
All right. Okay. Going to Quiñones here. AP Junior saying Malagón is his player to watch. I'm sure he'll have to come up with a big save or two. But with the form that he's in, I have 100% confidence in him. And he always seems to shine in a Clásico too. So I'm sure Malagón is looking forward to this one. Oh, by the way, his birthday was last Saturday and America was able to get the victory on his birthday. So kudos to that.
He didn't get the clean sheet.
Trust me, I'm sure he's kicking himself about it. I mean, there's nothing he could have done in that one, to be honest. It's one of those goals that you just like, how lucky can you get? But for me, in this one, I'm looking at Henry, right? All eyes are kind of on him at the moment with the whole contract renewal. him getting back in goal scoring form. And time and time again, we say Henry loves himself a goal in the Clásico, and he loves himself a Clásico Nacional goal because he always tends to have a celebration or two up his sleeve. And so I'm looking at Henry to score in a couple of goals. I do think he's gonna play a pivotal role. Even if he doesn't get on the score sheet, he's going to be important in every aspect of pulling marks, opening up spaces, playing with his back to goal, having kind of the wingers play off of him. So exactly the role that Jardine wants him to play, I know he will play it to a T. It's just whether or not America is capable of utilizing him. And he's going to hustle because that's kind of what Henry has. There's a lot of heart, a lot of passion, on top of the fact that he's very skillful and talented. So for me, it's going to be Henry just because he's always looking for himself a goal in a Clásico. And he just kind of has that that presence in these games, right? And I guess a couple of goals in a game like this would help his case to be like, hey, you know, kind of pay me my money, America. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah, but for me, it's Henry. Obviously so close to breaking 100 goals for America. So that's huge. And we'll see exactly what happens in that sense. But it's going to be an interesting game. From the sounds of it and from the looks of it, it's going to be a very contested game at the beginning. And if America can score that early goal, it will open up the game to a point where America can control it comfortably. And then not necessarily going to be reflective on the scoreline, but more so what we see on the pitch. But again, and I cannot stress this enough, America cannot get complacent, and America cannot get lazy, and America cannot afford to miss chance after chance after chance. Like, these are the games where you need to be critical with your finishing. And so, yeah, hopefully we don't see a Quiñon miss like 2 meters in front of goal. So
please don't.
Exactly. So again, it's orchestrating the game to your liking, and being able to manage it. And that always necessarily doesn't mean you need to have the ball, but it does mean that you need to be a step ahead of your opponent. So let's see if America is capable of doing that, and if Jardine is able to plant his side accordingly to how he wants them to play. So yeah, it should be a fun one. Should be an interesting one. Game will be tomorrow at 7 p.m. Pacific. 9 Central, 10 Eastern. It's a little late one for you guys on a Wednesday night. And then, of course, the game's going to be live via TUDN, so you don't have to go on Peacock or Telemundo for this one. You have to wait until when America does play in the league. Then we'll have a different conversation about that. So we'll see about that. But all right, gentlemen, we've talked about kind of the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs of it all, but give me your guys' prediction for this game tomorrow. 24 hours from now, what is the scoreline going to be at the end of the game?
1-0. Or 2-0. 2-0.
2-0.
2-0.
Okay.
2-0.
All right.
Yeah, 2-0.
I like it. That's comfortable. That's actually comfortable. Very comfortable. All right. 2-0. I like it. Christian?
My heart wants to say 2-0. I don't know why I have this strange feeling that's going to be 2-1, but I'm going to say 2-0 just because I want to keep the flow going. So 2-0.
Because your heart said it.
There you go. Always follow the heart. There you go. Never led you down the wrong path, I hope. All right. I'm actually going with Chris's first prediction. It's going 1-0. I know we painted it in a different perspective and where America can walk away. And look, it's very well feasible, right? Because what are the odds, Christian, that America walks out of this one with like a 4-5-0 lead? Like, is it doable? I think yes, with how we've been talking this game up. Is it practical? Probably not. But it's one of those things where you think, okay, we're clearly the favorites in this one. But again, it's how you present yourself in the game. It's how you manage the game. And it's whether or not you take your chances, right? Because we could be in a game where America walks away with a 1-0 victory, but Chris, we can come back next week and talk about it and be like, America should have walked away with 5 goals with all those chances that we missed, right? So
it's a tool game. It's a tool game all over again.
Get onside. Yeah, that's probably one of the things they're probably working on. So yeah, it's just kind of being mindful of those things. But look, America is capable, more than capable, of tearing any team apart on their day. So, you know, as we do sit here and we do present it in a sense that, okay, America could potentially walk away with a huge scoreline margin, don't expect it. Do expect a highly contested game. Do expect a game that kind of goes back and forth for the first couple of minutes until hopefully America is able to break it down, score a goal, and then kind of manage the game from there. But we'll see. I'm going 1-0. Let's go to the comment section, see exactly what everyone else is saying. I know Alan had given his prediction here. Alan said that he thinks it's gonna end up 1-0 for America, then or 2-0, but it's gonna be a tough match, not gonna lie. And then over here we saw that Chris Ramirez saying hat trick Henry and Javito first goal. Well, he's going with a 4-0 prediction by that I case. Like but Alan actually said, you know what? He's going 2-0. He's going 2-0. He's following his heart just as much as Christian is. Ricardo saying 3-1 America. So we'll see what happens. He's saying Chivar is going to get a penalty call for them. We'll see. AB Jr. saying 2-1. Chris saying my heart's saying 4-0, but my mind says 2-0. So he might be backtracking that. We'll see. Can you guys explain to me what is this Dreyfus?
I think Christian is better. It's better Christian explains it.
What is this in Dreyfus we trust that I keep seeing everyone in the comment section? I think I'm as lost as you.
I'll tell you guys privately because.
Okay.
This is not something to mention on the podcast?
No. We can explain it, but the way I explain it.
Oh.
It's better private.
Okay.
Yeah.
I personally don't know what it is.
So I can. Chris, you want to just quickly text it in the chat so I can laugh?
Okay.
All right, well, Chris texts us his very not PG-rated explanation of what this is. I feel very... God, this is the first time I feel like a dad, you know? Like, I don't know exactly what people are talking about. He said that. Okay, Alan explained it. He's saying that's Chicharito's mental coach. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Chris mentioned it already in our little group chat here. It's trying to go on. Oh.
I had explained it, you already know how I explained stuff.
Okay, well then, yeah. In Dreyfus, we trust. All right, let's go. A Dreyfus hat trick come in the way, and
here we go.
let's see what happens then. But all right, with that said, anybody else got anything else to add on?
Just know we went 2-0. I think the series is over because then they had to come into the second and beat us 3-0, which I don't think it's happened.
No, I hope not. Let's kill the game while we can, and let's go from there. Chris, anything else to add on?
No, I mean, unless you guys want to touch on the theaters game, like quickly, or
I don't think we have enough time. But we'll have a preview podcast for these guys to listen to. So, I guess we'll just cut it right here. So, all right then. Should be good. Should be fun. Expect all things America from us tomorrow on Twitter. Make sure you guys do tune in at the Eagle Eye Podcast. Should be a fun one. Should be great. It's always fun having a Clasico. And I guess we'll come back. We'll come back next week and talk this game and preview the second leg. One more to say, but enjoy tomorrow's matchup. Should be a fun one. I can't wait. Absolutely can't wait. Hopefully America walks away with, like I said, that 4-5 goal victory and come back and we just have a good time.
1 of 3 starts tomorrow. Here we go.
1 of 3. Here we go. All righty then. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much, Chris. Thank you so much, Christian, for taking the time to come and talk all things Club America. Hopefully, we didn't keep you guys up too late.
No, I'm still laughing.
I thought you were going to say
I'm still laughing at the life coach thing.
All right, well, I see we 100% giggling over here. Well, thank you so much to everyone in the, on the comments. Ricardo, Alan, Midwestern Cholo, AP Jr., Chris, who else? I know I'm missing someone here. I'm sorry if I just glanced over you. Louis as well, who was on here as well. So make sure you guys do go and answer the bonus question, get you guys' points out and everything. But with that said, that does it for us. We'll be back, like I mentioned, next week, talk all things Club America and recap everything going on in the world of Las Águilas. With that said, you guys have a wonderful time. Take care. And as always, Arriba la America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.